Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Thursday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia. On the socials, go there. Join the militia. Thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. Well, we're back. Joe says, hey, dude, you remember that podcast thing we used to do pretty consistently? Like, is that still a thing? Are we still doing that?
No, I thought it was done, man. I thought you were dropping off on me.
Oh, it was nice. The time off was nice. Being off social media. Because it requires doing that. No. Being off social media, not having to read every freaking article coming through on a very somewhat active but boring off season, as most are, in my opinion. And I said, look, there's probably enough news. We should probably do one. Okay. No, we didn't stop doing the podcast. Okay. We're here. I'm glad to be back. It's only been a month, by the way, which it's probably the longest break in like 3 years. So fair. But Joe's got to push me in the off season, man. If he doesn't push me in the off season, then I'm just going to be dormant. Okay. Because that's how it goes. Plus the news really was such a slow trickle and some of it was so irrelevant for the most part, like not totally irrelevant, but a lot of stuff came recently. Got a lot to talk about with women's basketball, for crying out loud. Change in women's basketball right now. Naming rights on the dome. We'll give you our thoughts on that. A little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, very little bit of basketball. And whatever else we decide in between. Right, Joe?
Yeah.
So real quick before we really get started, let's take care of the somewhat insignificant thing, in my opinion, which is the naming rights. So they finally ended this deal in perpetuity with Carrier after, what, 42, 43 years? I think this thing was signed in 79. I think they were offered, what, $2.75 million back in 79, 80, something like that, for basically the naming rights forever. And, you know, then they packed up all their stuff, never put AC in the dome, packed up all their stuff, laid everybody off, left town, and Syracuse is left with the Carrier Dome, which is just a non-existent thing. By the way, never really called it the Carrier Dome growing up. Nostalgic, yes. That's what they gave us, I think, for the most part, is everybody knows the Carrier Dome. So no matter where you are in the country, if you're an NCAA basketball fan, even an NCAA fan, period, you know the Carrier Dome, which has been huge, right? It's been huge.
Yeah.
It's like one of the three wonders of NCAA to some extent. For us, it is. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, some of these other places, but it's a dome. It's on campus. It's one of a kind.
Years, right?
Yes, it's one of a kind. My point is that it's one of a kind. They gave us that, but once Carrier left, all the people got laid off. There was a sour taste for a while, and Syracuse has been trying to get out of this thing for quite some time. So they're going to be, they struck a deal with JMA Wireless, which is a, I'm sure everybody already knows this, by the way. I'm just going to say it anyway. There's a lot of people out of town, out of Syracuse that listen to, by the way. So just to recap, I think they're based out of Liverpool. They're like a mobile connectivity company. They claim to be cutting edge. And they do a lot of networking stuff like that. So they're going to be actually adding some 5G wireless into the dome. So the Wi-Fi in the dome is supposed to be on the ups. We'll see about that. But, yeah. Right?
So, it's been awful.
It's been terrible forever. By the way, I never called it the carrier dome. I always called it the dome, even growing up.
The dome. It's always going to be the dome. Been,
right, exactly. And I'll still call it the dome. So, so I guess my point in saying that is that I don't care. And I think I said on Twitter they could call it the turd. I don't care. As long as it's as long as they're taking me to bowl games, they're taking me to NCAA tournaments. I don't care what they call it. Doesn't matter. It's going to be the dome to me, right?
Right there with you.
Okay. Is there anything else that needs to be said about that? Do you have anything else to add? Okay.
I mean, that was really only a matter of time, right?
Yeah,
the way that deals and inflation and money are around. I mean, it's
they didn't obviously do anything for the place. They gave him $2.75 million back in '79, and then
right.
that was it. They're just supposed to hold their name forever.
Well, it sounds like a crappy deal.
it sounds like a terrible deal. Made, yes, right? Exactly.
But back then, that was a lot of money. But then, what are you going to do to keep it, you know, updated?
They did nothing.
Incomparable to, you know, other stadiums that we're going to be other opponent stadiums right. And keeping it, you know, a recruiting tool other than just as a dome.
Right. So with that said, that brings me to this real quick, and then we'll move on. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of everything. The seats are apparently going to be navy blue. Now, I care way more about the color of the seats than I do the name of the dome. And I just do. And I just feel like I've said it on the show before. My favorite jersey is orange helmet, orange jersey, orange pants, white socks, orange shoes. That's my jersey. That's my favorite jersey, right? So I'm all about
the orange. So you think this should be orange?
I think the seats should be orange. I think they should be orange, and I think their excuses are bad. Something about empty seats will be seen easier, and then there was another one. They couldn't get the right shade of orange. They couldn't. They were worried about the shade of orange they were going to get. Look, that's dumb. That's really dumb. I don't think it matters. Besides,
I think the first one's not that dumb.
The first one is not that dumb, but you you need to fix that regardless, because guess who's going to see it anyway? The fans watching it on TV. So anyway, I am a little bit more upset about the blue seats than I am the whole naming rights thing. And that's just me because I'm petty and I want orange stuff everywhere. I mean, we're not the Syracuse blue, for shit's sake. We're the Syracuse orange. I think everything should be orange. Okay. Not the field, not the turf. But
you don't want to go Eastern Washington, Boise State style?
No Boise State. I can't even. I get headaches watching those games.
And have you seen the Eastern Washington one?
It's red, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red.
Yeah. Yeah. And Boise State's blue, which is bad enough, but the red is awful. It is. Yeah.
Hey, you do that. It blends in with the jerseys, so it can help. That's a real home field advantage.
That's true. I think turf should be green. I don't care if it's fake or real. It should be green, except for your logo in the center. I'm a traditionalist in that sense, right? So, right?
Not petty when it comes to the field.
No, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the field.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean,
but if you're going to take out...
I don't care anyway. So
I know you don't care. I knew you wouldn't.
It makes sense, though. Syracuse orange. I mean,
right.
Makes sense.
Right. And we're discussing old news, and everybody's probably shuffling forward 30 seconds at a hit. But that's fine.
Probably.
That's fine. You heard it, but you didn't hear it from us yet. So here we are talking about
it. Yeah, I mean, we haven't been here for a month, so yeah.
Yeah. Whose fault is that? I'm blaming you, because all you got to do is get in my ear and be like, hey, man, we should do a show. We really should. And I'd be like, fine, Joe. Fine. Send me some links. And I'll figure it out. Okay? And then I'll tell you to be there at 7, and you'll show up at 7:15. I'll be like, wow, some things never change. It's amazing. All right. real quick, before we continue. Yes, ColorCast, still with us. Can you believe it? I can't. ColorCast is a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and use. Talk to us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Look, we still haven't been there. I'm looking forward to football season, maybe doing a little something for football season on ColorCast. I don't know. Look, it's one of those things that I can't just keep starting over. But you don't have to go there just for us. That's the point. You can go there for all kinds of things. So what if we're not on there a lot? You can go there, join, and find so much other stuff. It's free to download. All you got to do is go to your iOS or Android store, download the damn thing, create a profile, link it to your Twitter account, join up a group or league or whatever you want to do inside the app. You can follow us. We are on there in spirit. At Q's Militia. Be notified when our room goes live. As always, sign up for the notifications. All right. Thank you. ColorCast. All right. Look, moving on to more important things besides the color of seats, which is important, by the way. And James, our boy James Zuba, had a brilliant tweet. And you can look it up. Something along the lines of, yeah, who would want orange seats in their dome? And I think he showed Oklahoma State and... golly, I would start this. There was a couple other ones. They were all orange seats, and they look beautiful, by the way. So, all right, Felicia, legit black, really doing yeoman's work over there at women's basketball. Now, you could say what you want about, I guess, maybe taking, by my count, she's taken four transfers from her Buffalo team. And then Lexi McNabb, who is Donovan McNabb's daughter. By the way, I did not remember this, but Donovan McNabb's wife, also Syracuse alum, she was MVP in 97, which is the year I graduated high school for the women's basketball team. So Lexi going to go ahead and follow in her mother's footsteps, hopefully. And she will be a new recruit next year. She had committed to Buffalo. And we'll follow Coach Black, legit Black, to Syracuse. So that's good. Also, Daisha Fair, junior. She was a leading scorer in the MAC, by the way. Fourth best in the entire nation. She averaged over 23 points a game. So she's excellent. Cheyenne McEvans, also coming from Buffalo. Another guard. 5.6 rebounds a game. Let's see. What is it? Sianna? Sinai Wilson?
Yeah, it's Sinai.
Okay, Sinai. Okay. Freshman forward last year. She's from Australia. She's going to be coming, following coach as well. And Georgia Woolley. So she was a newcomer in past last year as well. Averaged 14.6 points a game. Got a lot of scores on this team. Really, really good scores. So that's really good.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's got three more additionals that are coming in, too. Another transfer, by the way, from Kentucky. I think she originally started at Temple, but she's coming from Kentucky. 6'4". Forward. So.
Yep.
Anyway, I mean, she's making moves. We didn't talk at all, shame on us, about women's basketball. But in my defense to that would be, did you hear us mention much of anything about Syracuse lacrosse?
So there were some bad years, right? I mean, I know, yeah. We talked about in the beginning of the year, we talked about, obviously, you know, Coach Hillsman and everything that he was going through, and then a new coach and stuff like that. But we knew we had a mass exodus of players through the transfer portal. And then when, you know, obviously this coach left, and there were some more players. So we only have five returning players from last year's roster returning. So, yeah, I mean, the new coach, I mean, she – was a great coach in Buffalo. Obviously, a great player for Syracuse.
Probably the most prolific women's basketball player for Syracuse, right? And Sue Ludwig, too, one of her coaches that she hired. Also a really good women's basketball player for Syracuse.
Yeah, assistant coach from Buffalo that she brought over. Right, yeah. And like you said, I mean, you know, bringing over the Buffalo transfers, players that know her system, know her as a coach, getting Lexi McNabb, you know, obviously she was slated to go to Buffalo because of the coach, and now she's going to Syracuse, which is just crazy because both of her parents went there, right? And then you bring in a center from Kentucky, a forward from Temple, Kyra Wood, and then Asia Strong, who's a forward from Wichita State. So you talked about the players that came in from Buffalo. Daisha Fair, I believe, I want to say she was the MAC Player of the Year, but I know that I'm almost positive she was the leading scorer. And Georgia Woolley, she was the MAC Freshman of the Year last year. You said she averaged 14 points, and she was a freshman. So they have guards that can score, and then they go on top of everything and go and get two forwards and a center from the transfer portal as well. Plus with the players that we already have there, hopefully she can make something happen. But I think that you're going to probably look to a lot of those Buffalo players to kind of, you know, come in and go just stay on the same pass.
Yeah, there's four
with the coach, right?
There's four Buffalo players and then one commit. So you already have four of them that have played for Legit Black, and she's got the familiarity with them, obviously, and it's going to be a huge deal. And so, I mean, maybe we'll talk about women's basketball again next year. But it seems to me, when you look at all of these teams, so Syracuse football, basketball, and lacrosse have never finished below 500 in the same scholastic year. Yeah, the same. What do I want? I don't want to say scholastic year. What do I want to say? Something else.
Academic year.
Academic year. Yes. They have never. It's never happened until this year. The women's team, awful. Just a terrible year to be a Syracuse fan. When you look at football and you're like, man, losing three games in on last drives, like in a row, I think. As many close games as we had in football, and how close we were to getting a bowl game, and how that team actually did start to kind of find a rhythm in the squandered opportunities in the beginning of the year. And you look at basketball and you think the Jesse Edwards injury and, you know, everything some else that came around with early. That, some of the bad losses early there. You think of Owen Hills, for lacrosse and his injury. You think about what's his name from last year that kind of, you know, not a classy guy, you know, really good player, not a classy guy. He ends up transferring, right? Well, I don't even remember the dude's name.
And you get new coaches, new system.
And then you get a new, yes, and then you, now you've got a new coach. And both of the, in women's basketball and lacrosse. When you look at everything having to do with the big three sports, you know, and you think, well, football had its problems. Well, there's basketball. Basketball started rough. Well, they might look up. Well, they didn't. Well, we got always got lacrosse. And then, no. So, to see the moves that are being made, I think that the women's basketball team stands out to me as far as the most improved team out of these that we're talking about today for next year seems to look like, to me, it looks like the women's basketball team. It seems like they may fix all of their woes. And you got a fantastic former player / coach who can recruit. And it's going to be some glory days for women's basketball. I feel like it's going to be really good.
Well, yeah. And the one positive you can say is that Quentin Hillsman did bring Syracuse to a point to where, like, you know, they're in the ACC and they made the championship game the one year. He made the school in women's basketball actually predominant again, the name. So that's not just going to go away in one or two years. And then you bring on, like you said, a former alumni. You know, there was some issues in as far as character issues and stuff like that and things behind the scene. But still, there is a positive. You know, I still think that Syracuse women's, like, it just didn't just fall off. Like, they're starting to, you know, gain their name. and reputation. I don't think it's going to fall off just because of, you know, one coach and some things came out. I think that it obviously affected the players that were currently there and that he was recruiting. But now that they've, you know, cleaned all that up and you got her in there, like Felicia, like, I think that you're exactly right. I think that, this is going to be able to get going rather fast.
A quicker, you know, turnaround, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think the toughest thing this year, and I think a lot of what's going to happen is, you know, basically the, you know, Daesh Affair and Georgia Woolley, you know, some of the better scores that she had on her team and then the MAC, can they turn around and do that in the ACC? Because obviously it's a pumping competition. I'm not saying they can't.
Oh, they won't be as dominant, you know, you look at.
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, Daesha Fair, I mean, I think she's averaged 20 points in like 2 or 3 years that she's been. So she's a scorer.
She's the best player that they had, and probably the best player that's going to be on this Syracuse team, too. I mean, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that probably the top three players, or at least the top two players from Buffalo, probably transferred and followed Felicia, so, and a coach. So, right. I mean, they're setting themselves up for success, at least this year and year one when it's the most difficult. So hopefully they can have, you know, a good year and then they can help with the recruiting and so on and so forth. But she might not even need help, you know. This is her first year. She's got a bunch of transfers. And sometimes that doesn't actually, you know, sometimes it takes a little while to figure it out. So it's not a guarantee, but definitely excited for the you know, the way that this women's team is going, especially after all the drama and stuff that happened last year.
Yeah. So with that, I guess let's talk real quick about lacrosse because, you know, this was probably, out of all of it, was the bigger disappointment, in my opinion. You have the Owen Hiltz, as I mentioned, injury. I think it was in practice or something. Before the season even started, if I remember right.
Yep.
And then Tucker Dordovich, he's going to be leaving. You know, I think he had 94 goals for his career and 47 of them came this year. So, I mean, just dominated this year. And he's entering the transfer portal. You know, it's a little, that one's a little weird to me. I think he only has 1 year of eligibility left, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I guess COVID year for him, right? To be able to use that, I think. And, you know, with all of this said, by the way, and got the number one recruit in the nation coming in Joey Spolina. Spolina. So, excellent midfielder. He's a magician with his scoring. I mean, you want to talk about. When I talk about highlights, you watch his highlights, like those are freaking highlights, dude. The dude is putting on a show. He's amazing. So really excited about that. So we've got that coming in. Owen Hiltz should be back. But we had two more besides Tucker that went into the portal today. Mikey Berkman, who was fourth leading scorer on the team with 14 goals. And then Jack Savage, who is one of their better face-off guys. So, you know, talk about face-off specialists and things like that. That's almost like, just in my opinion, it's almost as good as having a goalie. I mean, getting you possession after a goal is huge, especially if you're the one that scored the goal, right? To be able to take possession and get on offense. So, it sucks. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. I'm not real sure, but, you know, you got to imagine with a year like they had. By the way, this was Syracuse men's lacrosse worst year ever. It was their worst year they've ever had in the history of the program.
Mm. they had a huge change, you know. I mean, they changed their whole coaching staff. I'm sure there's a change of philosophy and a change in you know, coaching technique and stuff like that. And I think that, I mean, it's pretty normal, especially this day and age, with the transfer portal and not having to wait a year.
It's huge. It's huge.
If you have a coaching change, I mean, there's going to be players to transfer just based off the fact of, like, okay, I see what's going on, or I see the writing on the wall, or this person's coming in. Because, I mean, Tucker Dordovich, to me, it's a little weird because, like you said, I mean, he's one of the better players, but he was forced to play more attack this year because of
he had to switch roles of Owen Hiltz's
injury, right?
And he shined playing attack,
right? Right, but now next year you got Owen Hiltz coming back, right? And then you have Spallina coming in, and they got some other guys coming in. So,
Tucker and Spallina would play on opposite sides of the field together.
But I mean, we don't know the whole roster. We don't know, you know, what happens behind closed doors. If the coaches and if he gets along with the new coaches, we have no idea. If he wants to use his other year to go to a different graduate school and some major that Syracuse doesn't have, like, you know, there's always different things. So I don't want to, you know, go crazy and think that the world's falling apart just because, you know, three players went in the transfer portal.
There's still a lot of talent going to be on that team next year.
A lot. And, you know, again, it takes a little bit of time sometimes to get used to a new coach and, you know, philosophies and all that kind of stuff. So,
and you just think, though, with a legend like Gary Gate, I mean, this dude's going to have it together. He's going to put it together. He's going to jump right in the driver's seat of this thing. Take them to the freaking Sweet 16. You're going to be a tournament team easy, right? And then as you're watching throughout the year, you're just like, oh my gosh, it was just so hard to watch.
Yeah.
Those lacrosse games this year. Hey, the Notre Dame game, the first one. Got destroyed. I
mean, yeah. By the time I got to it and turned it on, it already started. I turned it on and I turned it right off. So,
but then what was the other one? The UNC game. See, you go and then you look at the UNC game, and UNC was ranked like what, 8th or something like that, or maybe not, maybe 15th, or was it 8th? They were ranked, and they almost won, and they blew it, like totally imploded with like less than a minute left.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they were up by one, end up losing by one.
They had some close ones, and again, you see this, I think, a lot, especially nowadays. And like I said, if he comes in and he's that hard-nosed coach, that's, you know, old school coach, you know, mentality, then, you know, these generations of kids, some of them can't handle that stuff. So
yeah, it's too bad. I think, you know, some of that,
there's a bunch of different things and reasons why this could happen. So, and we're, again, this is a situation that we're never going to know unless a player comes out and says anything. So it's all speculation.
Yeah.
Once again, I just think they have a good enough recruiting class coming in and enough returning players that, you know, they could definitely be far and away better than this year.
I think Gary Gate did a great job with the women's team. You know, I don't know how long it took him to turn that thing around, or, you know, I don't know, because I'm going to be honest with you, I only watched any women's lacrosse if they were in the tournament, and that was, you know, just not something not something I put on my calendar, guys. I'm not gonna lie. So
but I don't think that they were looked at the way they are now.
No, so that's what I'm saying.
Gary Gate got there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just things just take time. You think a legend like Gary Gate, like I said, is gonna hop in the driver's seat and drive this thing hard, and, you know, it just didn't happen. So it's where you set your expectations sometimes. We always talk about that. So, and that's exactly where my disappointment came from. I set my expectations way too high, and I was a little shocked. So anyways, it's all good. It almost can't get worse. The men's lacrosse cannot get worse. It can't. And if you're a legend,
next year will be easier to watch because the expectations will be lower.
Right, that's true. All right, real quick before we finish up with some football and basketball, ColorCast, one more time, live audio only sports talk platform, free to download, news, talk to us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time, perfect for watch parties, debates, post game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. All you need to go to the ColorCast app in your iOS or Android store, download it, create a profile, link it to your Twitter, and join the league or group. Follow us at Cuse Militia to be notified if or when our room goes live. Thank you. Okay. All right, let's do football first. It's not a ton of basketball, but let's do football first. So, talked a little bit about the year. We've already recapped the year. We already know what the hell's going on there. So we're watching the draft. Or if you're like me, you were just headed on the background maybe a little bit, or glanced at it over at the bar. First time since 2017, no Orange football players were taken in the draft, which is a little disappointing, right? But we did have some some three undrafted free agents got invited to camps, all D-linemen, Josh Black, Kingsley Jonathan, and McKinley Williams. So Josh Black got an invite from the Saints and the Bears. I don't think he's made a decision on that yet, right? And he's from Chicago, isn't he from?
I think he just chose the Bears.
Okay, all right, my bad. I did not know that. Okay. So he's from there, so yeah, I guess he's going back closer to home. Kingsley Jonathan, he signed an undrafted free agency contract with the Bills right down the road. That's pretty cool. That's cool for Syracuse/Bills fans, right? It's always cool to see, you know, your one of your college faves in your pro jersey too. You know, that's an easy buy, right?
Yeah.
So, but the thing with him is, and Joe could probably explain this a little bit more, he was the number one overall pick in the global draft by the Montreal, whatever these guys are. What are they, Joe? What are they?
Alouettes.
Alouettes? What the hell is an Alouette?
I mean, who knows?
Huh?
Who knows? Huh?
What did we think it was earlier?
I said
Aquanauts. What the hell did you call them?
I said Argonauts. There's another team. There's another team where they're
okay. Which we found out is a Canadian spaceman, astronaut. The Argonauts.
Alouette is the French word for lark.
They're larpers, or did lark. You say lark?
Lark.
Oh. Okay. And what is lark?
England. The lark is a bird.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. 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 All right. All right, fair enough. Lots of birds in the NFL.
Yes.
So, anyways, he has signed an undrafted free agency contract with the Bills. Now, that's not to guarantee him on a spot on the roster. So I guess what the Alouettes did was they chose him in the number one overall pick to kind of secure his spot if it doesn't work out with the Bills. So if you take that, if you're making that pick, you're really banking on him not making it with the Bills. I mean, you gotta be right.
Pretty much.
Otherwise, yeah. That's a wasted first round pick overall first pick, I should say. So
yeah, that'd be a wasted pick if you made an NFL roster. Correct.
Okay. All right. And that's how that works, right? Game.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're drafting the rights to a player just in case the player doesn't make an NFL roster and just in case he wants to go and play in the CFL.
Gotcha. Okay. McKinley Williams, undrafted free agent contract signed with the Colts. So, you know, all three of these players. Surprise. I mean, are you a little surprised by Josh Black not getting drafted at all or no? Is that not surprising?
No, I don't think. Honestly, the only player to me Kobe. That was eligible for the draft that put up good enough numbers to actually look at to be drafted was Cody Roscoe. Yeah. But when you look at his measurables, I mean, he's not going to get drafted. I mean, there's going to be a player from some random directional state college U, right, that maybe barely played, but because he showed up at a combine and he bench pressed a whole bunch and ran a great 40 and he's got great size, he'll get drafted because of upside versus Cody Roscoe. I mean, that's just how that works. So I didn't expect any of them to get drafted. I'm a little surprised that Roscoe didn't get an invite to any camp. For
yeah,
sure. I did.
Well,
and
yeah.
I know you said what you said. I saw something about Aaron Servais possibly getting an opportunity to go to Jets camp. So and obviously players can turn around and not accept it. Things can happen. Players, you know, teams can cut players and choose to pick up different players. So, I mean, there's still time for Cody Roscoe to get a chance to, you know, get in a camp and try to get into a preseason and make a team. But, yeah, I'm surprised he didn't, but I'm not surprised that none of them got drafted. Not at all.
Okay. Well, I wasn't expecting it, but I mean, I'd be lying if I wasn't a little surprised by it, but
I mean, you just got to look at the production.
I know, I mean, but who? I mean, I know, but you see, when you watch this draft, and you're like, I never heard of that guy. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah.
It's just how I feel about it. Obviously, I'm not watching every game. I don't know every player, but first time since 2000 team, no Orangemen heard their name called. So it is what it is. We'll restart. Look, things are looking up, though. By the way, we talked about Josh Huff, I believe, in the last show. Like, what he was doing. Like, what is he doing? We didn't see him in the spring game, right? Or anything like that. Or no, we did a little bit, didn't we?
But he's, I think
he was playing where he's going to be, and that is on the D-line. So, officially moved there. According to his dad, confirmed it, I believe, on Twitter, which is where all news is confirmed.
Of course.
On Twitter. So, especially if it's done by a family member. So, yeah, I mean, that seems to be a better fit, you know. Joe questioned some of his ability, not in a snarky or mean way, but questioned his ability as a running back, mostly in the speed realm. But a big, strong kid can probably be really utilized there. So,
well, his speed now at that position is above average. So, you know, he always had the size. Now you go from a position where you had below average speed in elusiveness
to a position that
you know, now you're a little bit faster, helps you out. You already had the size. It's just pretty much building your body towards that.
And learning a whole new position like that, it's not.
Well, yeah, but he played D-line in high school as well. So he's got a little bit of familiarity to that. You know, and even to that point, too, I mean, I still think we're going to see Chris Elmore there as well. Cam Good, who we were hoping a transfer from, I believe, South Florida, D tackle. He chose Michigan. So we kind of missed out on that transfer. And yeah, so, I mean, we might be stuck with who we have. And so, I mean, we got some guys that need to put some weight on and put some muscle on in this offseason. And, you know, if we need to change the position of Josh Huff and we need to put, you know, Rhino out there at D tackle, you know, we know that Rhino's going to do what he needs to do for the team. Then maybe that might shore this defensive lineup enough to, you know, put a band-aid on it for a season.
How many scholarships they have left? You have any idea? It's got to be a ton.
I don't know. I feel like it's a ton. I don't think it's a ton.
You don't think so? You don't think it's like,
I mean,
eight?
Five to eight?
No? Okay, all right. Well, good.
That's I mean, feels five good. Maybe closer, okay. Yeah.
Five's a lot. Five's a lot of scholarships to go to waste. I feel like it is, don't you? It's not a ton, but it's a lot.
Yeah, I just haven't seen anything out there to really know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have mentioned it because no one looks stupid. But whatever.
Well, me too. Don't worry about it.
We're used to it.
We're used to having extra scholarships and not filling them all.
Yeah, through, so. I know. They don't always get filled. But and we can talk about it a little bit with the basketball thing because we still got a very important spot to fill there. And we'll talk about that then.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
One more thing pertaining to Syracuse football. Cuse-Penn State rivalry is going to get reignited. This is my air quotes voice. this is a team that we've played second most only to Pitt. And the all-time series sits at 43-23 with five ties in favor of the Nittany Lions. And there's a big hubbub, man. We're going to face them. We're going to do a home and home series, or a home away series if you're talking about your team. And we're going to do that. And you have to wait a little while, okay? Like 5 years, which is why I have a hard time really caring about this. I'm not trying to be mean or rude, but the hubbub about this being actually like big time news to me just didn't strike a chord with me at all. And part of that's because it's so far away. Like, I don't know, what is football even going to be like in 5 years? Like, we're seeing all these changes with the NIL. Like, I mean, is Coach Babers even going to be there? Like, we don't even know if Coach Babers is going to be there in 2024. Okay? I mean, 5 years, that's a long time to wait for one football game. Right? And that one would be at Penn State. In the 2028, we will play them again. So we'll have to wait. Syracuse fans will have to wait 6 years for this game to happen in the Dome. And maybe I'm being a jerk about it. But I got DMs, and I have a hard time getting excited about it, Joe. I apologize. So if you can add some excitement to this conversation, please.
look, I know.
Sorry.
I know exactly where you're coming from. Now, I'm not as bad as you as far as we know the fact that you don't even like going over recruits that haven't even signed yet, right?
You know
they committed.
You know
right?
it.
So I get it, 100%. You know, and when you look at the recent history, too, I mean, it wasn't so long ago that we signed a home-and-home with Wisconsin, and then that ended up getting changed out, you know, because it was so far away.
Well, look, too, here's the thing. They've been kicking our asses. 2009... 28-7. 2008, these are the last two times I played them. 55-13. I just don't know, man. I mean, I just don't know. You play them this year, they probably do the same thing to us. I just have a hard time getting excited for it. I don't look at Penn State as a rival. I mean, the Rutgers game would be more exciting to me. That's more of a rivalry game to me than Penn State.
Well, yeah, but that's just because of our age, right? Because if you look at it, if you go back the last time we played Penn State, at that time, Penn State was the most played. I mean, you got to think we've played Pittsburgh every single year since that last time. So the last time we played Penn State actually was the team that we've played the most ever. And because of our age and because of when they actually had the rivalry, that's why. Because they played every year back in the 80s and under 76, you know what I mean? So that's why. But when you look at the numbers, I can understand. But it's like you said, it's hard to get excited about it. You know, it's easy to use it as a recruiting tool, but, you know, then again, how but then again, how much does that help, right? To play devil's advocate, like, oh, we played the best teams, right? But, you know, we're already in the ACC, and this is really just a what comes first, right? I mean, are you really going to gain recruits? Like, we could have a really good year this year, compete very well, but because of our schedule, because we have Notre Dame, and then because we scheduled Purdue and all these, you know, like, we might not even get a bowl game. So, like, I guess, like, where's success measured when it comes to college football, right? Is it measured in the wins and losses in the bowl games, or is it measured on the competitiveness of the teams that you play?
Well, it's a mix of both, right?
Yeah. And again, I mean, so Kevin Wall, he had an article today in Noons, and he was talking about this pretty much the same thing. And he went through and actually showed how many bowl appearances since 2013 when we joined the ACC has all the ACC teams had. And we're in last place. We've had two.
Yeah,
we've had two bowl games since 2013. And the next lowest is Virginia, Georgia Tech, tied with four. So the next lowest have double R's.
Wonder what basketball looks like.
Well, I mean, we can look at that all we want, but you know, you look at some of these. Some Wake Forest has got six, Boston College six, Duke five, and when you look at these teams, the reason why they've had those bowl games is because of the fact that they didn't schedule the Penn States and all these, the Purdues and all these other teams in their non-conference, right? So realistically, I mean, that's really what you want to look at is what do you think is going to help recruiting and getting this team to the next level? Because I'll tell you that for a while, the Wake Forests and the Dukes and those guys of the world, I mean, before they made it a rule, they were scheduling one double A schools. They were, you know, some mid-major schools, and they were scheduling a guaranteed 4-0 non-conference. You win two conference games, and you're in a bowl game. And in some schools, it's helped. I mean, we've seen Wake Forest. They've gotten a little bit better. I think that's how NC State started when Dorn got there. Duke had some good seasons. And that's really, I think, the one beef, I think, with some of the play, like some of the fans, is like they don't care that we're playing Penn State or Notre Dame or Purdue. Or, yeah, sure, it puts butts in the seats and you get a cool game where y'all
something to look forward to in 5 years,
right?
Something to look forward to in 5 years.
But not even that. It's almost like a money grab for like the school. Like, oh, we got a home game for this, but what are we doing to like the school? I mean, I bet you the fans would definitely take a BS non-conference schedule to be able to guarantee a bowl game every year versus we're gonna schedule a super difficult non-conference to where it's like it's gonna
hinder them.
Tough to go two and two, right?
Because, like, our conference is hard enough as it is,
right?
And you know, you're playing Clemson every year, and yeah, it's just difficult.
And you don't get into the opposed to basketball, you don't get put into the postseason based upon your strength schedule. It's not measured at your record and then comparable to what your strength schedule is. It's literally you got to get six wins. This is your benchmark.
Yeah, Florida State every year. NC State's been really good. You know, we got to beat all these teams too. So when you add, and I'm someone who really thinks I'm more of a moderate there. So I mean, yeah, throw a hard one in here and there, and then you know, let's sprinkle some cupcakes on here. Because we're going to need them. Because I just feel like we're always going to need them in the conference we're in, especially being in the Atlantic side of the ACC, which I believe is the tougher, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, and again, Notre Dame screwing us, per usual.
Per usual.
Because the whole thing is when it comes down to it, it's they had signed an agreement to stay in the ACC that you have to play like, I don't know if it's three or four, you know, you can't just pick your own schedule, Notre Dame. You got to play at least three or four ACC teams.
And
you
Notre Dame, don't even get me started. That is such a joke.
Yeah, and they got to switch around and change and play different ones. So now it's set up to where Notre Dame plays everybody like every 3 or 4 years. And it's like, thanks. And it doesn't even count as a conference game.
No, it doesn't even count as a conference game. So it's so stupid.
So now we're guaranteed one out of every 3 or 4 years that we're going to be playing Notre Dame in a non-conference game. Thanks. And then all of a sudden you schedule a Purdue. What happens if, I mean, crap, it could be a situation we're playing Notre Dame this year, right? Maybe this 2028, we got Notre Dame and Penn State in our non-conference schedule. Cool. Right? I mean, yeah, we might have the number one strength of schedule and we'll win 4 games. Like, I guess that's just where,
yeah,
I mean,
there's no quads. There's no quad one wins, quad one games.
There's nothing. Yeah. The whole main point, and if we scheduled correctly, then we would make a bowl game every year. I think if you ask this Syracuse team to go out and win 2 ACC games, I think they can do it every year.
Yeah, and I mean,
minus the COVID year with DeVito.
Right. I got to be honest. I like the series we had with Liberty. I thought that was fun. They were pretty good games. There's still one left.
But I mean, that's about as far as you should go.
Well, that's right? What I'm saying.
Is that tweener, mid-major, maybe make the top 25, maybe a top 30 team, right?
Yeah. That's perfect.
Like, I'm not trying to play a top 5 team from the Big Ten. You know, exactly. Like, that's just, like, we don't need.
Right. What do you want? Are we going to play Ohio State next? Just for shits and giggles?
Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was just schedule Washington. I mean, we've seen this. I mean, we've gotten non-conference schedules. We've seen this in the Greg Robinson era and all the eras, really. I mean, I think the one coach that actually took advantage of this was Marone. I mean, we had a decent quarterback and all that stuff, but I think that we played in bowl games because of the way that we scheduled our non-conference schedule. Schaefer did the same thing. He scheduled tough teams, and it really hasn't stopped. We don't schedule to make a bowl game. And you can say, oh, we're not going to take the easy way, but at the end of the day, they always say what in football? You are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
They don't look at who you play. They look at if you're in a bowl game.
Yeah. And there's plenty of bowl games to grab, and there's no excuse why we shouldn't be making them.
Right. So I just think that would help a little bit more. We've played for the past decade this whole, well, let's schedule some big guys in non-conference and maybe it'll put butts in the seats. Like, I think we got to try to go towards the,
I think we need to win. You want to put butts in the seats? Let's start winning.
Right.
Let's start winning. Let's make it fun again. Point,
doesn't matter about the competition. You make a bowl game, you get butts in the seats, and then I feel like that kind of shows itself. Because, I mean, players can say whatever they want when they go to visits to Syracuse and all this other stuff. If you go to a visit for Syracuse and you go through that whole game day experience at the Dome in the way that our attendance has been in the past couple years versus probably any other type, even an average Power 5 conference team, it's not even close. It's not even close. I mean, there's probably recruits that just leave those recruiting visits laughing. Like, yeah, I had a good time. I partied with the fellas. There's some good guys, but like that, I mean, they can't even fill a 54,000, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's tough. I mean, when you sit here and you look at these, the Loud House, the big name schools, the SECs of the world. I mean, those guys are filling 85, 90, 100,000.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Stadiums. Yeah, and I've talked about that before. Like, we just don't have that kind of atmosphere.
It's so
relied on so much local support in Syracuse.
And I just feel like you're only going to get that by winning. And
yeah,
being consistently a winner. Yes. You're not going to do it just because you scheduled the Wisconsin or a Penn State. It's great. I'm going to pay $60 to watch us get our ass kicked.
Yeah, like, not fun. I'll sit home and do it type thing. Right? And, you know, it's been a minute, really. We've had a couple good years, but it's been a minute. I mean, the McNabb days
had
were good.
Years, dude.
Yeah, we've had.
Schaefer had years. Last year was another year where we were a bowl team. But because of our schedule, because of things that we couldn't, that were outside their realm, you know, injuries are some stupid, or not deciding when you want, you know, not deciding on a starting quarterback, so the third week of the season, like stupid crap like that, like.
Well, it was the fourth week, was it not? The third week was like a little bit of a mix. We didn't decide on one until the fourth week.
Yeah. I just think that in the past, you know, decade or so, like, there's been seasons where we easily could have made a bowl game, even if it's a 6-6, just sneak in and play one, you know? And we didn't because of our schedule. And you just don't know how that affects you because we haven't seen it in quite some time, so.
Yeah, so I guess long story short, it's 5 years away. I'll get excited in 4.5 years, maybe. I still don't even know where we'll be at.
Wow, yeah. Like, and that's the whole argument that I had. It's not. We don't even know if it's going to be relevant. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen in 4 years?
Yeah, what's going to happen to the way the transfer portal is and the NIL? Like, this transfer portal stuff has got to, the madness has got to end.
Yeah, the
NIL stuff is starting to get a little bit out of hand. Joe and I talked about that a little bit off the air. Speaking of which, let's transition to some Syracuse basketball real quick. We talked about one legend, his daughter coming and joining the Syracuse basketball team, while another legend's son announced he's going to be entering the transfer portal. Chaz Owens, son of legend Billy Owens, he's going to do so according to verbal commits. One good thing was is that it does free up another scholarship. But here's the problem. We're having a hard time getting people to take scholarships because we have had one freed up since Frank Anselm. And now we have two. I believe we talked about Quincy Ballard in the last episode. It would have been an outstanding addition, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of people who think differently, and that's fine. And by the way, you can send all your Penn State hate mail to me. That's fine. Twitter or Facebook. And that's just how I see it, but that's fine. I understand the excitement. I just am not. I'm just not there. That's just me. I'm a kind of like that. I'm a cynic. I'm sorry. So Quincy, I think he would have been a great addition. He ended up going to Wichita State. Now, there's a lot of news on this front. I think really starting to bubble up. It makes me a little nervous that Syracuse really doesn't have a backup center right now. And I've heard a lot of people shouting for Peter Carey, but we did talk about the knee injury. It's been a long recovery. He had some, the COVID stuff that he went through too in high school. And he's had, to say the least, he's had limited time on the court playing. And I don't know the status of his injury. But we need a center. We need a backup center. We need someone to fill probably 12 minutes. With the way if Jesse Edwards doesn't shape up a little bit. Okay, 15 minutes. But
depends on the ref.
I think Jesse Edwards averaged 24 to 27 minutes, something like that last year. So, Joe, you're so pathetic. Joe, mouthing I love you to Heather, which I thought was sweet at first. And then all I saw was a beer enter the picture. So that's fine. That's good, Joe. Good job. I got to give you hats off for that, dude. That was slick. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. I think Jesse Edwards averaged 24, 27 minutes, something like that last year. It was due to foul trouble. Obviously, if he could play all 40, Coach Wood, he's a tremendous player. So you need someone to fill that time. Yeah. And who's going to do it, Joe, if we don't get one? So now we're hearing things about, in this, Joe kind of elaborated on this to me earlier. There's some disturbing things going on with the NIL stuff. And, I mean, people are basically getting offered straight pay-to-play money.
Yep.
It is just people being housed and getting straight money. You know, Buddy, he was one of the first on this thing. Sold some jerseys, stuff like that. Do booster stuff as far as like autograph stuff. Now, I guess I was a little ignorant because I thought, well, this will be easy to police, right? Because,
yeah, right.
So I thought it would be. The one thing is the NCAA sucks at everything. By the way, in my defense, I did mention that they suck at everything and they'll find some way this thing will get screwed up. And it's getting screwed up. And here we are, not even a full year into this thing. And we've got people in the transfer portal getting guaranteed money coming out. And according to Joe, you said John Wildhack, he doesn't want to play that game, right? Well, it's either throw a punch or get knocked out. In my opinion, if everybody's playing the game right now, and of course there might be limited booster money just in general, but if everybody's playing the game, it's either punch or get knocked out. And Joe, explain what, I mean, probably there's people probably who already know, but
I mean, the problem is so there's these things that are being
the companies, I'm talking about the companies.
Yes. So it's essentially they're called collectives, right? And this is the, you know, air quote collectives of schools that they have. And essentially when something new comes up, and it's a new rule or it's a new this, you're going to have people that
find
come
people
out
to go right through the loophole.
The loopholes,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Let me find the loopholes to help this, help that.
Right.
And we talked about this, and I said that this was basically just going to be opening up the whole boosters again, like everything before. Because before it was boosters buying players, and it was when you didn't have social media and all this technology to be able to track it all down, and it was handshakes, you know, $1,000 handshakes behind closed doors. People didn't know what was going on. And that's how college football was back in the day. And now all this is just a legalized way to do it. And
right,
so you have these schools, right? You have these schools that get these collectives, aka boosters with money, that come together and form private companies, or, you know, and then those companies are signing deals for NIL. And they're not doing anything for these companies. I mean, maybe a little sign an autograph here or this or that, but the payout isn't worth the work, so to speak, or the weight, kind of. And when you have players that aren't even haven't done anything, haven't shown anything, and they're getting NIL before they even show up on campus and throw or catch or run a football or make a tackle, they're getting this money from these collectives. That's essentially the same thing we were at before with the boosters, and basically, who's going to pay me the most?
Yeah, and that's where I'm going to go. Syracuse not only is, you know, we've talked before NIL was even a thing. We talked, first of all, I always had the players' backs on the NIL stuff. And I shouldn't say before it was a thing, but
no,
before it became it came a thing.
No, but we have to definitely address that. This isn't us saying that we don't think that the players deserve money.
Correct.
This isn't.
I was naive to the corruption that would follow in the NCAA not being able to police it, because they police everything else that's stupid under the sun, but they fail at this every time.
But do they
historically, or are they not trying? Is that where you're going?
I mean,
because they might not be trying.
I think that they do. I think they do this for certain teams, certain programs.
Yeah.
Right?
We've seen all these
things. We saw what Syracuse got, the penalty they got for their whatever they did, right? And since then, we've seen more egregious things come out with less harsh penalties. So, again, it seems to me like you can pick and choose, right? I mean, they were talking about fake classes at North Carolina.
Yeah, they're very picky
and
choosy.
Where did that go?
It went
nowhere. Hear about that. They didn't lose any scholarships, right? Talking about Zion Williamson getting paid, his family getting a house from Duke, or maybe somebody else, whatever. But where's that?
There was something to do with the university itself and sneakers. And I believe it was Nike.
But again, where's that? We're not talking about that, right?
Because Zion Williams is a star.
I mean, you had NC State. Dennis Smith Jr. took a crap ton of money from NC State. What's going on there? Kansas, there was a recruiting violation. What's going on there? Louisville, they had strippers for recruits and escorts.
All stuff happened there.
Yeah, okay. Stuff happened there. They fired a coach, but
they took away a championship, too. They delegitimized that championship.
Which,
by the way, you want to talk about Jim's 101 wins. Could you imagine if they stripped a championship? Like, I'd riot. I'm not promoting riots, but I'd be so pissed. I would be so pissed. Like, you can't do that. But anyway, they got hammered. Louisville got hammered.
Yeah, but that's just, I mean, as bad as Syracuse, though? I mean,
at the end of the day, I don't think so, because of all the sanctions that followed. I mean, we see they got rid of their coach, it got stripped of a championship, and they rebounded pretty good. I mean, their football team took a couple years, but
yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, even with, like, you've heard, like, announcers, like Syracuse fans, right? We still count the wins.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, sure. There's even announcers that still say, oh, Jim should have this many wins, right? So, like, no one's going to forget, even if you're a Louisville fan, no one's going to forget. Like, that didn't get stripped from Louisville fans. That might have got stripped from a book or from a Wikipedia church, yeah. Right? But, like, at the end of the day, as a Louisville fan, that didn't get stripped.
It's just the point, though. It's just the point.
But that's my point, is that they pick and choose, right?
Right,
so,
exactly.
Again, this is just a situation where they're going to pick and choose. Just right, like back in the day when SMU and the Pony Express, the whole 30 for 30, they were sitting there. They were just playing by the same rule. But because they played the rules when they finally got in there, they played them better, and they started beating the big boys like Oklahoma and all that. Guess what? NCAA stepped in, and they gave them the death penalty, even though they knew all the other schools were doing the same thing. SMU just didn't have a player up in the NCAA looking out for them. That was it. So it's the same thing. It's always been political. And, I mean, until they figure out something fair across the board, it's always going to be political and corrupt.
It's well, you just said it. And it's in politics is corrupt, whether we're talking about in sports, in companies, in the government. They're always corrupt. But at the end of the day, the word is corrupt. The NCAA is corrupt.
Yeah.
It's corrupt. It's got bad people in there. You have people looking out for their own interests. And it's mm-hmm. just in people with ties to this and that, and it's corrupt.
There's too much power and money involved.
Absolutely, which is why I think if John Wildhack can, if they can have the ability to be able to draw people out of the portal, then they should do it while it's still okay. Because apparently nothing's happening right now, and it seems to be going swimmingly for other people. So we need a center, Joe.
I think we're going to
yes.
I think we are going to get a, I mean, they're talking that there's going to be a collective for Syracuse probably by, you know, the end of the year. So I mean, there are things moving in that direction. But as far as our center's concerned, basketball, going back to that whole, that's where it's difficult. It's difficult to have a need.
A dramatic need.
But not a need for a starter.
Right. To have a backup problem. That bad. Yeah.
Like, there's a reason these players are in the transfer portal.
Well, I guess, you know what, though? Closer it gets to November, the more desperate some of these guys will get. They're not all going to get taken. I mean, the portal is clogged. So there are still opportunities for Syracuse and for the people in there. And if they want to play, then they will, they'll play. The closer it gets to November when they get desperate, you know, maybe they'll make a move. I just feel like at some point you can't wait that long, and it's got to be something that's done fairly quick. I mean, you got to get them there. When do kids go back to school, Joe? When do kids go to college?
Oh God! You're asking someone who's never gone to college. So.
I'm just saying, isn't it like in July?
They do summer stuff. They do summer classes and they do summer workouts. Division One athletes are there in the summer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Working out and
that's what I'm talking about. So when players transfer and stuff like that, they usually go there in like end of June, July, to start to acclimate to get there.
I think
So, I mean, hello, we're approaching that. So I feel like. I just feel like time's ticking on this, and obviously coaches are doing the best they can. I think that we are at a disadvantage, to say the least. Syracuse is not just geographically at a disadvantage when it comes to these types of things, but now they're at a monetary disadvantage, and money talks and bullshit walks, and you know, and these kids know what they can get for what they're worth. So it's a waiting game right now. Syracuse can put out their feelers, put out offers. These kids may consider them, but wait to see what else can come along. They know what their role is going to be if you're a center coming to Syracuse right now. And they might hold that offer in their pocket until the last minute if they don't get picked up. And, you know, that's going to be that. But at some point, I think we find something, somebody, a body. I mean, it's almost all we can, you know, all we need at this point. But someone to develop, that's the important thing. You know, Jesse Edwards could leave next year. You know,
well, yeah, and I think that's, you hit the nail right on that as far as like kind of the waiting game, right? Because like right now we've been dealing with players like that are looking for a place to start, right? I mean, this is the second time that Ballard's pretty much bailed on his home team.
Yeah, obviously he doesn't want to be in Syracuse. I can understand that.
I don't think that's probably what it is at this point, right? But also, like I said about, like, these players are looking for a place to get playing time and start. And if you go somewhere and it's like, look, like, we need a backup center, but if Jesse doesn't get in foul trouble, he's going to play 30, 35 minutes, and you got to be okay with that. So some players are going to have a problem with that, you know, and there's other articles where players were talking, or, you know, people were talking about, like a cook who we recruited him. He went to UConn, got an injury. Well, he just signed with Georgetown. Quadis Wahab, another one that we recruited.
That was Washington, right? Was that what? He went to Coach
Hop? He chose Georgetown over.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Over us. Yeah. And then he transferred from Georgetown, went to Maryland, and now he's transferring out of Maryland. So, I mean, he's looking for his third team. I don't really want to touch that. and it's going to come down to, these players are looking for a place to start. And near the end here, they're going to figure out that they're going to have to figure out, like, okay, do I want to go to a Power 5 school and be a backup this year, but play behind Jesse? Jesse will probably be gone after this year in hopes, and maybe I can be the starter next year, right? Or am I going to go to some mid-major kind of clown school? I don't want to call them clown school, but you know what I mean. Just
I
smaller school.
Saying. Small school.
So yeah. That I can,
so you
that
get
I
more
can
minutes.
Go and I can start and dominate, right? And
dominate,
get more minutes.
Right.
So that's the point where we're getting down to very, very soon, and it's coming very, very fast. So
I guess, you know, kind of to try to wrap this up here, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, right? But I feel like Syracuse needs to do better. I feel like they need to do better. And the other thing is that the transfer portal, the not having to sit out a year, I thought this stuff was done. Is it not done at the end of this year? At the end of this offseason?
Bro, I don't know.
When
Who
does
knows?
This end?
Like, we're never going to know, because it's going to take, like, you could be a week away and they'll be like, oh, we're going to get another year. Like, we don't know. This is stuff just going on. Like, I don't,
they
don't make,
they have to figure it out. They're ruining
it's,
college
I know
sports.
It's sad. There's, I mean, we have to get some type of,
there's
know.
No, it feels like there's no organization.
We
got to
sustain this. Oh God, no, bro.
Right.
It's been blatantly obvious for the last 2 years, but it's obvious before that the adults in the room are killing it for everybody. And that's just the problem. You know, we got to get a guy, and, you know, hopefully,
how do you feel about Syracuse without a backup center going in there with Jesse Edwards and Peter Carey?
So I'm going to give a shout out, and you probably not like this, but, Locked On Syracuse.
Oh, Joe's favorite podcast. Hold on.
other than this one, right. They got new hosts recently, and I've been listening, and
of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, it's a daily thing. I'm going to be up on it, you know, but Brad Klein, can't imagine doing it myself without you. I could not imagine it. And he's doing it himself until Matt Bonaparte shows up. But I've been listening to him, and I know that he said that no one's talking about Malik Brown, but we spoke
Joe,
about Malik
oh,
Brown.
Well,
we
he must not listen
Malik
to
Brown.
Us. How's that make you feel, Joe?
Oh, that's okay. He's young.
I'm offended. I'm offended for Joe. Joe talked about Malik Brown a month ago.
Look. He's 22. All right. He's still, you know,
he's
still figuring it out.
Yeah, he's still got, you know, he's still.
Hey, look, but, I mean, at the end of the day, Dolezal played center for us, right?
Dolezal is a different animal, though.
6'9", 6'10". He was 190 pounds soaking wet. Malik Brown is 6'9", 6'10". He's 6'9", or 6'10". And he weighs 210 right now, 215.
Yeah, that's great.
So and he's a great defensive player.
He could
great
throw
rebounder.
Him in there, sure.
So, and Brad Klein, he brought this up in Locked On, and I've been on that. And, you know, if Peter Carey can't come in to do something, I mean, I think that you're probably looking at our backup center. If we don't get anybody else and Peter Carey is a redshirt, then Malik Brown's probably going to be that guy that goes in there as the undersized. I mean, he brought it up today, and I don't know if you agree, but he said that this year the best backup center for us, he said it was Jimmy Boeheim over Frank Anselm.
Who said that?
Brad Klein.
I don't know if I believe that.
Do you agree with that? No.
No, I don't think I agree with that.
No, I don't think I agree with that either. I think Frank.
I mean, I think Jimmy's not going to be good there. Although Jimmy, I mean, he can grab rebounds. He can grab rebounds. He's better where he was. He's better at forward, obviously, but he can grab rebounds. But I just don't know. He's not as physical as he needs to be down there. That's what made Dolezal, dude. He did not. He was not worried about mixing it up down there. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't worried about getting hit. He obviously was not worried about hitting any other people with the amount of fouls he accumulated. Jimmy, not that mentality. It's a mentality thing. I just don't think Jimmy has it. And that's fine because he was better where he was at anyway. Well, and then that could be good. That could be good. So, I mean, I guess that's a good point. And, I mean, I guess it can make you feel a little better. But at the end of the day, it sure would be nice just to have that backup center because I feel like this team has got such a – last I checked, I think it was a top 15 recruiting class. And I believe it's probably still hovering around there after Judah Mintz. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no one else has made big enough moves to push us out of that, I don't believe. But it's a talented group coming in, man. It's a talented group. If Malik Brown can play there, he can put that. That would be fantastic. But I would love to know what coach thinks about like not exactly having a center. So or a backup center. So,
yeah,
we'll just have to see. Obviously.
Yeah, well, a lot of it has to do with Benny Williams, right? I think the upside of this class and this whole team, I think, is crazy. Because you know what you got with Jesse. You know what you got with Joe. I mean, Samir started showing up, but if Judah Mintz is going to come in and play better than Samir, then you can only be, you know, more positive about that, right? So, I mean, if Benny Williams ends up shocking the world, as Jim Boeheim said that he was going to, then, I mean, this is going to be a big difference in this team. Now, if we get the Benny Williams of last year, then we're going to need some people to step up.
You know, and I know. Well, maybe you don't know, but I know. I feel Benny Williams is going to be a special player. I think you could tell that just from his on the character aspect of things. I could tell that last year. So, all right. Is there something else you need? What are you doing right now?
No.
What are you doing right now?
I am trying to signal to Heather that what she's doing isn't going to work. Yeah.
Is she cooking?
No.
Oh.
No, she's not.
Was she going to throw a beer at you this time?
No, she's not going to throw a beer at me, okay? The kids got new toys, and I have to make them work.
And she can't. I just see a bunch of no.
I just don't look. I'm not trying to have, you know, the woman that I love waste her time doing something that's not going to work. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, you're just doing her a solid at the end of the day. She's not going to see it like that, but I see it like that.
Thank you.
And that's all that matters is what I think. Okay. All right. Look. That's going to do it for us. We really appreciate all of you for waiting so long and still coming to listen. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Look, as soon as more builds up, we'll be back. Joe will get on me, I'm sure. So we'll see you then. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.